Hello and welcome. It's hour number three, the third hour of the Ben Maller Radio Show, recorded live overnight on the radio and then repackaged in the podcast format with limited commercial interruption. So this hour, what grade do we give the Cleveland Browns for adding Jadeveon Clowney to their defense as a pass rushing specialist? Keep in mind, Clowney did not have a sack last season. We'll pull out the Maller report card for Jadeveon Clowney heading to Northern Ohio, and we'll do it right now in hour number three. It's a clown show. No, it is. It's a real clown show. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. Here we are again of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we speechify coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from inside the theater of the mind, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Good to have you along with us this hour as we continue the blab fest all night long, and our lead does come from the comings and goings department of free agency, the musical chairs game continuing, specifically Jadeveon Clowney, former number one overall pick. He has found a new home. Now, if you didn't see this, and perhaps not, we have learned that Jadeveon Clowney agreeing to a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. It's all official. It's kosher. All the T's have been crossed. The dots have been dotted. The whole thing. The I's have been dotted. So the deal has been percolating here for months. It is worth up to, that's weasel terminology, up to $10 million. So Clowney could cash in if things go right there in Cleveland for $10 million. Now the nerds are very excited about this. The football wonks say, hey, this is great. Clowney bringing the pass rush to Northern Ohio. And over the last three seasons, if you're looking for positivity, the glass is half full. Jadeveon Clowney ranks fifth in the NFL in pass rush win rate. A 25% pass rush win rate, which is good enough to rank fifth in the NFL. So let us discuss the question, how much impact will Jadeveon Clowney have in the 2021 Browns defense? I am going to go a marginal impact, not enough to really get you all excited. And as far as the Maller report card, free agent signing, put a grade on it. I got a grade for you. Don't worry. I got a grade. Maller report card grade for Jadeveon Clowney signing in Cleveland. A C. I give it a C. Now, my observations here. You've got Tent, Star Wars, Crawl, and Nickel. All right. And we will lock all of these things together. Number one. So Jadeveon Clowney has delusions of grandeur. He's never been an elite player. He's never been a really dominant player in the NFL, not by the standards that normal people have to judge athletic performance in that business. So that would make returning to that level, which is something Jadeveon Clowney indicated at his opening news conference, that he was going to try to get back to that level of dominance, that would be impossible, right? I mean, you might feel that Clowney's a good player, but we go with facts over the feeling that Clowney's that good. Jadeveon Clowney has averaged how many sacks per season? You got a number? Guy's number one pick in the draft. He's averaged less than 5 sacks per season in his career. He's averaged 4.5 sacks. And that is an elite player. In his head, he's an elite player. Mike Tookus, he's an elite player. Now, Clowney has been very valuable in one area. And we're heading into the time of the year, you know, before you know it, it's going to be summer. People are going to be out enjoying the summer weather and camping, and you'll be staying in a tent. Well, Jadeveon Clowney doesn't have a pop-up tent. He's got an injury tent that he is a regular at. And if history repeats itself, and it certainly has for Clowney over the years, he will be injured before midseason. Over his career, he has been very dependable, very reliable, not getting sacks and not making plays on the field, but with several ailments. Now, football is a violent game and players get hurt a lot, but Clowney takes that to the next level. He has missed time. He's been on the injury list with knee problems, ankle issues, back issues, foot problems, elbow problems. They've all caused him to miss games over his career. He's had three different trips to injured reserve over the course of his career. So that's what Cleveland's getting. So you don't get too excited about that. Now, the second thing here, when you take a look at what category Jadeveon Clowney falls into, Jadeveon Clowney is a Star Wars crawl player. Because whenever you talk about Clowney, you begin the conversation by saying, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, he was considered amazing. He was a supernova, right? It's like, he was. Well, and then you look back, you're like, well, yeah, he had that big play in the Outback Bowl for South Carolina against Michigan, and that put him on the map, and he was like, you know, that year for the Gamecocks, he was like Cookie Monster, devouring cookies, which were offensive players that went against South Carolina. And he's a physical freak, and he's built like Adonis, and that's why he got drafted number one overall, the whole thing. But right about that moment, where he was the number one overall pick, the story took a dramatic turn. There was a plot twist. And it went from rags to riches to riches to rags. Clowney was destined for greatness. He has yet to reach that level. He's never had 10 sacks in a season. Zero seasons with 10 sacks. You look at the benchmarks for domination. His reputation precedes him. Jadeveon Clowney's a guy that got tagged as a player that takes plays off. And in marketing, one of the great marketing gimmicks is the Energizer Bunny, right? Just keeps going and going and going and going. Well, Clowney is the epitome of the tranquilizer tiger because he sleeps, he sleepwalks. It's the zombie apocalypse quite often with Clowney out there, and that's the player that Cleveland is getting. All right, final point. Now, some... and you know who they are, they're the cheerleaders, are selling the fact that Jadeveon Clowney will have a new lease on life, fresh start, clean slate going to the Brownies. And, but wait, there's more. Clowney is going to be teamed with Myles Garrett. He will have an opportunity to thrive, right? This will validate that Clowney is a wonderful player because he's teamed up with a fellow former number one overall pick in Myles Garrett. Now, that is going to dominate the NFL. If you don't believe me, just read the glowing reviews from the football media elites. They're all saying that. No more double teams. Even Clowney himself implied that the reason his production has been often an abject failure is because of the double team. Yada, yada, yada. Of course, we always laugh at that. Because great players, spoiler alert, get double teamed and yet often still produce. It's kind of the deal. If you're really good, they double team you. And if you're really, really good, you still make plays. So I gave Clowney a C. I went high on that. I'm not holding my breath. I think he's an average player who will have a couple of moments before he gets hurt. But as far as the change of scenery card, which some are playing here, I don't see that in my deck of cards. It has not worked. Clowney is about to join his fourth team in 4 years. There's a reason for that. Right? Texans finally got rid of him. They tried to get rid of him earlier. They finally got rid of him. Seahawks, one and done. Tennessee Titans, half a season and done. And now he's going to the Browns. Why all that change? Why is this guy a football hobo, a vagabond? Well, forget solid gold. If you do the test, this is a wooden nickel, right? Not even a real, it's a wooden nickel. Underperformer. And this is another example in life why often it is more important to be projected for greatness than anything else, because Jadeveon Clowney continues to get opportunities in the NFL. He's going to get possibly up to $10 million. I likely won't get that full amount, but he's going to get millions of dollars. And he did absolutely nothing last season in Tennessee. He had zero sacks, bupkis. And he's going to get a contract, a one-year deal. It's not a long-term deal. But it's because years ago they said, this guy's going to be good, they being the scouting community. And he has yet to live up to those expectations. He hasn't played one full season his entire career, Clowney. He's coming off a marvelous campaign where he had 19 tackles and no sacks in Tennessee, only played half the season. And he continues to laugh all the way to the bank at critics like myself as NFL teams just keep throwing money. Here's some money, here's some money, here's some money. You get money. Hey, you want more? Here we go, here we go. How much, how much, how much? It's like an auctioneer. You know, $1 million. Do I have $1 million? How about $1.5 million? $1.5 million. How about $2 million? $2 million. $2 million. Man in the back. $2 million. All right. How about $2.5 million? $2.5 million. Do I hear $2.5 million? All right. $2.5 million. Good. Woman in the back there. All right. How about that? Yeah. Man in the dress over there. I don't know why the guy's. Is that Flexus over there? $4 million. All right. Go on and on like that.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part, you can join the festivities here, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We've got Ask Ben coming your way later in the hour. Your questions, our answers, right around the corner, right around the corner. Your questions, our answers. And it is a graveyard for quarterbacks. But where is the quarterback graveyard? We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. He's got his militia and gives them his sporting news. Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. Big Ben in the air everywhere for you and me.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow the man who picks out all the music that we're playing on the show, just like this song here from some of our listeners. His first name is Roberto. His last name is Flores. You can follow him at Raider_Rob24.
I'll go with the porn star.
Yeah, Roberto!
And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
These guys are better than the best dang crew you and I have ever knew.
Mr. Nice Guy writes in, says, Steph Curry gets double-teamed every night. Go F yourself, Cloudy. Yeah. Yeah, Curry's been ridiculously good. It reminds me of myself back when I played at Orchard Park and I was Moneyball Maller back in the day, knocking down those three-point shots. But Curry's been redonkulous of late. Rod, the ambassador of Bakersfield, California, writes, since it's been, I must say, your monologue on Clowney was dead on. In my opinion, he's a lazy ass. Dude, Ohio, though, disagrees. He says, you're nuts. He, meaning Clowney, doesn't have to be elite, Maller. He is there to take the double team away from Garrett. There's 10 other people on defense. They filled the void with the best available option. He says B+. Methinks the witness be biased. This guy's Dude Ohio. He loves Ohio. He loves the Browns. Come on. Listen, I heard the same crap when Clowney went to Seattle. I heard the same thing from fans in Tennessee. And I then witnessed Clowney go out and be a slug. So you can be very sincere with what you're saying right now, and I'm not doubting you're genuine, Dude Ohio, but you are setting yourself up for imminent doom once the games start. Once the games get going, you're looking at some trouble. Double O Mexican from San Diego writes and says, A-minus monologue, Ben, Jadeveon Clowney is overrated. and is still living off his number one pick hype. The only way he gets 10 sacks is if Myles Garrett hits 10 quarterbacks with a helmet. So says 00 Mexican. We'll take your phone calls, 877-99 on Fox. If you'd like to be part, let's say hello to Jed Who Fled, who is up next. Hello, Jed Who Fled.
Yeah, I usually hate waiting on hold, dog, but I'm in the middle of something sketchy. Could you come back to me?
Yeah, we'll go back to you. Yeah.
Sketchy. No, I'm not going to jail until tomorrow night.
No, I was going to put you on hold. When are you going to jail? Do we have a date when you're going to jail?
Yeah, the court date from last week, when I think it gave me a week to get my stuff together, and that's tomorrow. So thank you for going to me quick. If I don't talk to you, I'll keep me there in spirit, because I will be incarcerated.
Will you send us prison mail?
Yeah.
You will?
Okay. I say that outside of jail, but inside jail, it's a much more despondent, sad situation, so I don't know if I have the motivation.
You will not. You can still listen. Just because you're going to jail doesn't mean you can't listen. You can listen when you're in jail.
I'm going to be up from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. because I'm going to be protecting my anus. But, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, nobody cares about me listening to radio. And when I tell them it's over on a talk show, they want to beat me up naturally. So,
yeah. You know. Okay.
Anyway, I'm out of breath because I'm doing the sketchy thing. So, you didn't. You know, we're talking.
All right. We'll hang up on you. Then. Thank you. All right. Going out with a bang, or in his case, going out with something likely illegal. Jed Who Fled. I put him in the same category with Gordy in Ottawa. Similar type caller. And I'm guessing, I don't think Gordy's like smokes cigarettes. I don't think he does meth. I don't think he's going down that road. Well, the quarterback graveyard, that obviously is in Chicago, Jim McMahon. A man that stood atop the mountain with the Chicago Bears a million years ago, and he took some pot shots at the organization. He was number 9 in your program, but number 1 in your heart. Jim McMahon, he popped up on a podcast this week and asked why the Bears struggle to develop quarterbacks. McMahon then proceeded to explain why the Bears cannot develop quarterbacks. This is interesting to Eugene, our guy in Chicago, and Doc Mike, and a couple of other of our regulars from the Windy City. But here's what Jim McMahon said. Quote, Chicago has always been known for their defense, right? Their defense and their running game, and that's probably all they're ever going to be known for. I think it's where quarterbacks go to die, said Jim McMahon, who then proceeded to massage another one of his former teams, the Green Bay Packers. He did play at the end of his career for the Green Bay Packers. I think he also played, I remember him, with the San Diego Chargers. But anyway, McMahon said, it was the best organization I played for of the 7 teams that I got to play for, McMahon said, of the Packers, from top to bottom. Just great people, McMahon said. And he was a teammate of Brett Favre at the end of his career in Green Bay. And the Bears, if you look at some of the names that they have had play quarterback in Chicago over the years, and since McMahon left, it's been 32 years since Jim McMahon left Chicago, and they have had a laundry list of quarterbacks. I've made the playoffs a number of times in that time, but Cade McNown, Jim Miller, Chris Chandler, Rex Grossman, Craig Krenzel. These are some tremendous names. Brian Greasy, Kyle Orton, Smokin' Jay Cutler, Josh McCown, Matt Barkley, Mitch Trubisky lately, Nick Foles lately, and now Andy Dalton. Yeah. I would say not to nitpick, because I don't want to nitpick, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say the executives have changed in Chicago, but the people they hire, they have the same pedigree when it comes to picking quarterbacks. Like, you're not trying to solve the issue when you're bringing in Andy Dalton, right? You know, listen, Andy Dalton, I gave him a shot with the Cowboys, and I was not impressed. He's not even a marginal quarterback. He's a passable quarterback, but nothing tremendous, nothing exciting, and to think that he's going to all of a sudden have this magical epiphany. The Bears would have been better if they had signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. That would have been, I mean, Fitzpatrick's not good either, but at least he has a few games where he's like, he's solid, and you got something. But I mean, that's rare that happens, but at least it happens more often than Andy Dalton. That is for darn sure. All right, who else do we have? Let's see, Paige down here. Manic Mike writes in from Nashville. He says, the way Jed, who fled, talks, I'd say he's still indulging in whatever got his ass in trouble with the law in the first place. I couldn't understand a word he said. Yeah, listen, Jed's fighting some demons. My man Jed, he's called us a few times where he was completely sober. And he talks normal, and he's nothing odd about all that. And then he cranks it up a little bit and does the happy sauce, whatever he's got going on there. And then he sounds like that. So, it's not difficult to figure out which Jed who fled you've got. It's not that hard. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple to figure that out. Do you see this story about Jason Tatum? He has had an up and down year for the Celtics. The Celtics have been pretty disappointing. Don't look like they're going to do anything in the Eastern Conference as they've been struggling right around 500. And Jason Tatum continues to say the reason that he has been up and down is because of the COVID. He had COVID, and since he had that issue, his performance has been rocky. He was asked recently whether he was back to 100%, and Tatum said he was very close to being 100%. The Celtics star also talking about how he used an inhaler before games to help with his breathing, which is something he said he didn't need before he got the coronavirus. Now, listen, I don't know what the story is with Tatum, if there's more to it than just the coronavirus, but there have been a number of NBA players and NFL players, but a number of NBA players, will stay in basketball, that have had the coronavirus, the COVID-19, and many of them have put up a really tremendous production and numbers and all that. You don't hear, at least I haven't, maybe I've missed it, I don't hear a lot of stories about guys needing inhalers and this, that, and the other thing, and Tatum's on that short list of players that has raised this issue. But you look at Rudy Gobert, you go down the list, Donovan Mitchell, I think Russell Westbrook had COVID. There's been a number of the guys. There's star players in the NBA that have had it. But Tatum, the issues continue to pop up. At least that's what he says. So we'll see. But that the Celtics have been. Oof.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We did have some college basketball coaching vacancies filled. The University of Cincinnati has hired Wes Miller as their new head coach. He was the former head coach.
Never heard of him.
UNC Greensboro, 10 seasons at UNC Greensboro. They made the tournament a few times under him, so he's going to step up a little bit in prestige, take the Cincinnati job.
A little more money?
I'm sure he'll be getting more money at Cincinnati.
And he'll have a coach's show, and Dick and Dayton will call into his coach's show.
That's very true.
And have no idea who he is, but talk to him like he knows him.
That's right. And this was rumored, and it's come to reality. Longtime Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd, 20 years as Mark Few's main man there in Gonzaga. He's now the new head coach at the University of Arizona. So I'm sure Arnie Spanier is very excited about the new head coach there.
I know who's not excited. Gilbert Arenas there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Gilbert.
Was he up for the job or something? Did he want the job?
I don't know about that, but he was interviewed and asked about it, and he wouldn't even say the guy's name. He says because he's an assistant coach. And
he probably didn't know his name.
That's probably true, too. But I've heard some rumblings that they're upset because they went outside the family. The Wildcat family, yeah. The Arizona basketball family. They went outside the family.
If he starts winning, I'm sure they'll forget about that pretty quickly.
Oh, nobody. Yeah, of course. If you win, who cares? People forget all that stuff. Now, I like to put a couple of bucks down from time to time on a game. You likely do the same. Gambling's becoming more and more of a mainstream sports gambling, state by state. And if you've been following the early season trends in baseball, it is insane how good the odds makers are, how perfect the odds makers are. Now, recently, the last couple of days have been really good for underdogs. In fact, on Wednesday, if you had just bet every game individually and bet underdogs in baseball, you would have gone 11-3 betting the dogs. And in fact, the last couple of days, underdog plays in baseball are 21-9. You would have been 12 games over 500 on your individual bets, depending on money management. You would have been in really good shape. But here's the amazing season total, right? So here we are, all the games played and all that stuff, favorites versus underdogs. The total for Major League Baseball this season, 84 favorites have won, 84 underdogs have won. It is dead even. And there have been six games that ended up as pick'ems, but 84-84, favorite versus underdog to begin the baseball season. Remember, and the casino makes their money either way, right? They want half the money on the favorite, half the money on the dog, and then they make their money on the juice. They don't really care who wins. If the money's even, they're going to make money. If the money's one-sided, they would obviously like a certain team to win because that would help them out, the team that there's less money bet on. But so far, they have absolutely nailed it. A 50-50 proposition, underdog versus favorite. So remember that if you're a degenerate and you bet on baseball, it's tough when you start betting because you always want to bet favorites. You want to bet the better team, but there's value there. Look at the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are absolutely terrible. They suck. They blow, the Buccos. My God, are they terrible. You couldn't pick out half that roster, more than half that roster. I watch the Pirates. I flip around these games. When I'm sitting around there and I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about for the show, and I'm flipping around there and I'm like, who the hell's that guy? Who's that guy? And the Pirates now beat the Padres again. Overrated. Overrated. Padres. Disappointment without Fernando Tatis. They lost 5-1 to the Pirates. Back to back. Break up the Buccos. Raise the Jolly Roger. The Pirates are 5-7. And the Dodgers, they beat the Rockies again. Dodgers, they're running away now with the National League West. And they have the Padres this weekend in San Diego. And what happened to Joe Musgrove, right? Mr. No-hitter guy, Joe Musgrove, right? Eddie picked him all excited there. Back-to-back, going to have his Johnny Vandermeer moment for the Padres. And he didn't pitch terribly. He only went 4 innings, though. He gave up 4 hits, couple of walks, gave up a run, and was the losing pitcher because the Padre offense, all those big names they got in that lineup, Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, and several others, but they could only muster 6 hits and 1 run against a bunch of nobodies, bunch of absolute nobodies for the Pittsburgh Pirates. There you go. Some guy named Tyler Anderson. I don't even know who that is, but he's a left-handed pitcher for the Pirates.
And the Pirates won without their best player, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Charlie Hayes' son.
He didn't play, huh?
He's on the IL, yeah.
Yeah, he's hurt. There you go. All right. Well, congratulations. We love when the Pirates beat the Padres. It's a good job by them. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show, and that leads us into...
It's now time for.
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter.
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. And we do thank you for being enthusiastic and supporting the content machine here on the radio show. So we pass the mic over to the master of ceremonies, Coop Daloop, for the reading of the questions. For me, it's myself and everyone else on the show. It's Ben and Friends here. Ask Ben and Friends, a very evasive part of the show. Here we go.
All right, Ben, we're going to start off with a question for everybody. This is from Finley Fanboys.
You're starting with a Finley burner account?
Yeah. Wow. Have any of you purchased items from infomercials or other as seen on TV items?
Yes. Well, when I was a kid, though, I haven't done it as an adult, but I have purchased. When I was a kid, the infomercial that was very popular, there was this car wax that you could put on your car and light it on fire and your car wouldn't be damaged. And I was mesmerized by this infomercial. I was like, I have to get that. I was a teenager. I'd started driving. So I bought it. And, you know, we tried to light the car on fire, just like the commercial, and it didn't really work. It was false advertising, but I did do that. And I bought a few other things over the years, but normally what I'll do is I'll go to, like, at Walmart, they have a scene on TV section, or CVS, and I'll check the items out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have been tempted. My wife talks me out of it, but I'm like, we really need that. Those sunglasses that are, you know, the extra sun blocking sunglasses, you know, all that stuff. But I've absolutely bought a few things, but not in a long time. What about you, Eddie?
Yeah, actually, I bought something recently. It's called It's called the Battery Daddy. It's this plastic storage unit to put all your batteries in.
The Battery Daddy.
I see that one.
Because we just had like a giant Ziploc bag full of batteries. Same and I'm here. Like, you know
yeah,
what?
That's where
let's organize this. $19.99, we got a plastic case for all of them now.
The Battery Daddy.
Is it as good as advertised? Is it dependable? Is it a reliable product?
Yeah, I mean it probably costs $2 to make. It's just plastic, but
I'm
looking
at it right now.
You can grab the batteries quickly. They're all in a place. You don't have to dig around through a bag. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they sold you. They sold you on the product, and you got that. I got you. Oh, what about you, Roberto?
Yeah, at the LA County Fair, they have a lot of those as seen on TV products. I bought a lot of them there. Yeah.
I love the infomercials. I read a couple of books on the sales techniques they use in infomercials, and they are brilliant. They have mastered it. They really have. They're tremendous pitchmen on the infomercials. And if you're in sales, you should study how they do the infomercials. The mind tricks. You know, supplies are limited. Act now before supplies run out. You know, all the. But wait, there's more freebies. You know, they really get you. They really hook you in. What about you, Coop?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. My roommate did buy one of those, like, you know, quick dicer things.
Is that a Ron Popeil product?
I'm not sure. It's
I'm still upset because I booked Ron Popeil for my podcast. He's retired, and he was going to do it, and then I wasn't a big enough name, so he wouldn't come on the podcast. Like right when his publicist was like, "Yeah, he'll do it." And he looked me up on the internet. I guess I wasn't because I do the overnight, so he wouldn't come on. I was very upset by that.
It was
would have been a dream.
It was one of those things where like you put the onion in there, and then you just like bring down the thing, and then it dices it, and it's all in the container already. And
well, Ron Popeil came up with the O-Matic, his family. So the Chop-O-Matic, the Dial-O-Matic, the Veg-O-Matic, all of that are Ron Popeil products. Yeah. Do you know who the original infomercial people were?
No.
The Kickapoo Indian Medicine Company. They toured. No, seriously. I read about this. No, you're laughing. But they went around the country.
Who?
To like boardwalks and street fairs and whatever. And they promised cures for everything. And that's where they would strangle rattlesnakes on stage, right? And they claimed it was an elixir in rattlesnakes. And, you know, the term snake oil, that's where it comes from. How about that? That's infomercial knowledge right there. You guys don't seem impressed. Come on. No? I'm not making that up, by the way. You can look that up. I'm not making that up. I read that in a book, so it must be true.
Nice.
All right, why don't we pause for the cause? We'll have more Ask Ben, your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour. The rest of the hour. We'll get to it, and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From peasants to patriarchs, everyone's welcome in the secret society that is the Maller Militia. Listen live from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, but catch up on shows you missed on demand around the clock via the podcast. Tell your friends and enemies about the virtues of the Ben Maller Show. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio content and give us a 5-star review. It helps supersize the Maller brand. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And Ask Ben continues. Your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour. Back to Koopaloo.
All right, Ben. I'll save this if we don't have anything else. There's another. I don't know. This
one
really.
Anything else? I see tons of questions here.
No, I know, but this one really seems like it's from an actual burner account belonging to Brian Finley. So that's why I'm gonna.
Well, he's got several burner accounts. Finley's got no life. He's made an imaginary girlfriend, and he's got burner accounts. He's like, no, seriously. He's like Gagon. Gagon has the fake account. David Gascon. He's a fraud. He's got the Gagon account.
All right, well, we'll skip that one. Manic Mike wants to know, what's your favorite exotic style pizza?
Well, I'm a traditionalist with the pizza. I had pizza for lunch on Wednesday. I made the garlic onion pizza.
Wait, what? You didn't fast?
Well, no, I'm on a fast right now. I won't eat again until Friday, but I did eat on Wednesday. I had pizza. And I made a pie at home, and it was. I do eat occasionally, Roberto, during the week.
You say you don't eat during the week.
No, I eat a couple times during the week. I hadn't eaten since, so. No, but I don't judge me.
Good for you.
How dare you? No, but I made a pie at home, and I mix in a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I don't go that exotic. Well, Eddie, any exotic pizza you eat?
I mean, it's funny. My wife and I have pizza almost every week, like once a week, because we both love it. But she doesn't want to ever try anything different, and it's weird because I'm usually not that way. I usually like get the same thing because if I like it, I get it over and over again. But
creature of habit,
when it comes to pizza, I'm like, let's try something different. And she never wants to try anything different. Although she thinks I'm crazy for liking pineapple on pizza. And I think she's crazy for liking anchovies on pizza.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
Oh, some domestic situations going on.
So we always get, pepperoni. It's a compromise.
Roberto, you eat any like exotic on a pizza?
Say pesto with mushroom. Pizza, it's pretty good, and chorizo and jalapenos on it. Bomb. From Shakey's? Yeah, really good.
All right. What about you, Koopaloop?
I feel like barbecue chicken isn't really considered exotic anymore. I feel like that's like a standard.
I've done that. It's pretty good.
But I do occasionally at this Ventura County pizza place called Toppers, and they're the best. I get this buffalo chicken pizza, and that one's got like creamy garlic sauce and then buffalo chicken and then pepperoncinis and bacon and then French fried onions, those crispy onions. So that's kind of exotic, I suppose.
There you go. All right, very good. Keep it going here. It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
Late night drug tester wants to know, everyone, have you ever been on a train or bus for more than 24 hours?
No, I have not. I have driven around the subway system in Manhattan and all over the boroughs because I got lost and I just stayed on it, but it wasn't 24 hours. It was, maybe 4 or 5 hours. What about you, Eddie?
I mean, I was on a bus a lot, as a kid playing sports. I grew up in a small town in Central California, so we would actually, have to drive to other towns to play play other schools. Some of them were a few hours occasionally, but in my adult life, no, not really at all, no.
Okay. Roberto?
Yeah, my adult life either. No. As a kid, a few times in Mexico on vacation with my mom and my dad. Well, that's about it.
All right. Koopaloop, any long bus trips? Or
no, the longest train ride that I ever had was about 5 hours, and that was in Europe. But that's
pretty long. That's pretty good.
There you go. All right. Keep it going here. It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
Well, now this is a question that I came up with that I'm curious to know.
Ask Coop asking questions.
Do you, if you guys had to rate it from favorite to least favorite, do you know your wives' favorite sports in order?
Well, it's easy for me. Yeah,
yeah, it's easy for me too, but in a different way.
None of the above.
Not really into sports.
None.
So it's not that hard. Eddie, any football, right?
Yeah, Chargers, football. Yeah. The NFL in particular. She's all in on the NFL.
I'm guessing baseball for Roberto.
Yeah, baseball, then football, then NBA, not so much. You're not really interested in basketball.
Coop,
what's Karen's least favorite?
She absolutely hates like any kind of boxing, MMA, any of that stuff. She's very much against that.
Against that. Interesting.